Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
So glad to have my mama here. She's 84. She was my first friend, greatest intercessor. She and my dad pastored a church for many, many years. He went on to be with the Lord a few years ago. Also, I have my sister with me, two of my nieces and nephew with me. So I'm just blessed to have them here. It's always so good to be here in Brentwood. I've been preaching here 21 years. I've been an elder here 14 years. And Kathy and I lived here for 6 years as well. So it's just always a blessing to be back home here. I'm privileged to be speaking on the first Sunday of Orphan Month, where we recognize the tremendous need in our world, and where we also honor those who've adopted. Kathy and I have had the privilege in the last 10 years to adopt 3 older girls into our family. It's been a great joy. I never understood what it was like for God to adopt me and what that meant until I adopted someone else. It was a revelation. I'm so thankful for it. Let's pray. Father, help us. Touch us today. Amen. How many of you ever seen a post-it note? Raise your hand. See that? How many of you like these? Man, it's great. I like them. Love notes for my wife, work things. And they know all, how many of them are all sizes and all colors? The amazing thing about them, man, they stick, but they don't bond. It's great, isn't it? In fact, man, an old post-it note, you may think he loves you, he'll tear away from you and stick on someone else. How many of you know that? Now, think about posting. This is one of the most profitable mistakes in all of history. This is the number 5 selling office product in the world. Probably the cute yellow ones, especially what we normally, even little small ones are nice. And when a man named Spencer Silver was working at 3M many years ago, he was trying to invent the ultimate glue. He gonna glue airplanes together. He finally had it made, but the problem was it stuck, didn't bond. It took him years to figure out it's nice to have some paper that you can stick over and over and over. And even though this secret recipe was impervious to lasting bonding, it could just stick over and over seemingly. In fact, what was great about it is it left no residue on that which it was stuck. You could pull it right off. And how many of you like the accordion ones? Aren't they wonderful? I mean, they're just powerful. You know, I mean, I have a little talent here, like a yo-yo almost. Now, the problem is, what's wonderful in paper isn't so wonderful in people. We find we live in a day when you may feel sticky, but most people can't bond. They walk down the aisle sticking. They don't bond. They say they're your friend forever. They don't bond. They have multiple partners. But everyone leaves a residue that marks you for life other than God's grace. Why don't we bond? Parents walk out on their kids at unprecedented rates. Fatherless children by the millions. What's up? Why do we have such trouble forming lasting bonds? Feeling bondable. Why is that? I've never ever preached this message before until this morning. I'm going to entitle it Adopted Hope for Your Orphaned Heart. Help us, Holy Spirit, not just to leave here with a head full of knowledge, but to leave here with a heart filled with your power and your love. John 14, Jesus had just told the disciples some life-altering news. I'm going to leave you. Like he'd been promising not to leave him, forsake him. I'm leaving you. You're not going to have me physically anymore. How many of you know it'd be pretty hard to replace Jesus? Just raise your hand. And he said something pretty radical that if you can understand this, you can be on your way to having something orphaned on the inside of you fixed. I will not leave you as orphans. And in the Greek there in that term, it says, I'm not going to leave you parentless. I'm not going to leave you without siblings. I'm not going to leave you, pardon my grammar, familylessness. I'm not going to leave you that way. I'm going to come to you. So they can't figure it out. Okay, you're leaving, but you're coming. You're leaving, but you're coming. They left everything to follow him. Their religion didn't trust him anymore. They left their families. Their parents probably thought they were crazy. So he says, I'm leaving, but I'm coming. How many feel that sounds a little contradictory, be honest? I'm leaving, but I'm coming. Well, we know that promise can be made real by the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8, 14 through 17, says, if you're led by the Spirit, if you'll let the Holy Spirit help you this morning, you're going to experience what it is to have family, no matter what your birth family, biological family, adopted family, step family, first marriage family was like. If you'll let me lead you, the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to bring you into being a child of God. The Spirit you receive will not enslave you to insecurity. The Spirit you receive won't leave you ambivalent about people in your life where you got trust, don't trust, good feelings, bad feelings. But instead, this Holy Spirit you received adopted you into something. And because of him, we can cry, Abba, that's an Aramaic word. It's kind of a childlike expression. We can cry, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And if that wasn't enough, inside of you, the Holy Spirit testifies right into your whole mind, brain, system. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. And now if we can get this revelation to be in children, Paul says, then we get it. We're heirs. Like I have an inheritance. But what's the problem? Why is it so hard not just to feel bonded to the God we claim as our dad in all his three persons, God the Father, Son, and Spirit, one yet three, and then bonded to people? You ever had trouble bonding to someone? Raise your hand. If your hand's not up, you've never tried, probably. I've never met a human that bonds perfectly, and humans are my business. I sat with them by the thousands with every kind of pain you can imagine and can't imagine. I sat with them in the Syrian borders, destroyed by war. I sat with them in the courts of the mighty. Icons in America crumpled at my feet, sobbing like babies. You've seen on television, to the poorest of poor, you'd pass in your car and never notice. What's wrong? What breaks us on the inside? Well, we know our sin, our disobedience separated us from God. It says in Isaiah 59, 2, your sin separated you from God. When Adam and Eve fell, no matter how you see origins today, whether you're a creationist or old earth or young earth or a theistic evolution, whatever you might be, trust me, God spoke what you see. His word spoke these processes into existence, and here we are. Right. And when Adam and Eve sinned against him, their spirit, their human spirit, was separated from the divine spirit. That doesn't mean if you don't know Christ this morning, you don't have a spirit. It just means it's apart from God. And if it's apart from God, his love and his life and his security and his power and his grace don't flow into you. You see, if you're not reunited with God, intrinsically, the hole that leaves in your soul is so great, you'll be searching for the right man or the right woman to replace God for the rest of your life. And when you put the pressure on a human to be what only God can be to you and for you, they end up crushed and you end up disappointed. It doesn't work. But you see, the separation from God thing is not just spiritual. It's really biological. It's really neural. I was talking to one of the brilliant young neuroscientists in her Every Nation Church in New York. She's doing her postdoc at Columbia now. And she told me, she says, one of the reasons she believes that it's good to seek God first thing in the morning is there's nothing like the presence and experience of God to set the chemical balances right in your life. Get your dopamine levels right. And if you don't do it with God, you'll do it with something else. Your mind, your being, your systems created to function best in the presence of God. That wasn't bad enough. We just weren't separated from God. When you get separated from God, you lose what you need to really stay bonded with people. The minute Adam and Eve sinned, Next thing you know, they were covering up with leaves, jumping in bushes, blaming one another. It just began to break down. We live in a world where bonding with people's heart, lifetime's scary. That wasn't enough. There's just a lot of suffering on this planet. Any neurobiologist, any psychologist, psychiatrist will tell you that much of who you are when it comes to bonding and relationships takes place in the first 5 years of your life with your primary caregiver. Now, science didn't really understand until 1989 that we can produce neurons all of our life, and indeed, the mind stays plastic and can be changed, new neural patterns can form for the rest of your life, so it's definitely harder after your 20s. God knew that because he said, renew your mind, don't be transformed to the world. I mean, God's known that a long while, and we've just discovered it, but it's the fact. But we're affected. A lot of times you're hurt, you can't remember why. That's because you're hurt so young, you don't have any explicit memory of it, only implicit. But it affected you, it hurt you, it tore you. We live in a world filled with suffering. That wasn't enough. How many of you ever discovered that people are fairly selfish? If you know someone that's selfish, raise your hand. If you've realized yet you're selfish, raise your other hand. James put Debbie's hand down. I told her to raise both. Just kidding. Okay. And so we're surrounded in a world where people are so hurt, so wounded. Selfishness is normally what we get. What do we do about that? How can we fix that thing in us? Well, it starts with the person of God. He reveals himself as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One yet three. It is a great mystery, and it's in the Bible. I've kind of found it helpful in counseling. I'll never forget dealing with one young woman whose dad would chase her and beat her and throw her to the ground for years. And I said, I'm ministering to her, and we're dealing with some trauma. I said, honey, just imagine the Father's love. She goes, I can't really go with a dad thing. I said, okay, great. Just imagine Jesus. She goes, I don't like my brother much either. I said, okay. How about the Holy Spirit? She goes, he's cool. I go, we just use the Holy Spirit. Thank God for three of them. Now, you know I'm joking when I say that. I figure it's good he revealed it as God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Hopefully, you're going to like one of them all the time. I'm teasing. That's bad theology. But you get my point. So this Father says, how great is the love the Father lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. That's what we are. He's dad. He reveals himself in the Bible as your dad. That's wonderful, unless you had a dad that abused you, abandoned you, or neglected you. I might add, that's a fairly large portion of the world's children. Because one of the primary jobs of a dad is to demonstrate to his kids every day, this is what God is like, so they'll have a model. But when that doesn't happen, many of you disengage at the word dad. You read like a blur over passages in the Bible where it says God loves you like a dad and disciplines you like a dad. Maybe you're like the one precious person I knew who was kicked and beaten and hair yanked out of her head, beaten to the ground 3 days a week for 7 years. Things break down in your soul if that's you this morning. And then Jesus, man, he's amazing. And in Hebrews 2, 11 through 18, he says, I'm not ashamed to call you my brothers and sisters. And you've been ashamed of yourself all your life in the perfect Son of God. Says, I'm not ashamed to be your sibling. I'm not ashamed to be your big brother. And we know from great researchers like Barbara Fredrickson that shame is the acid of the brain, destroys, tears, and that to be loved and accepted to the brain is like oxygen to the body. That's a quote. This Jesus, the Bible says he became fully human in every way, yet fully God, so he could be merciful and understand your sufferings and atone for you. He gets rejection. World's only perfect kid. To the eyes of the world, is born to an illegitimate teenage girl. Born illegitimate, brother and sister didn't believe in him. Mama thought it was crazy for a while, and all his friends betrayed him. Knows your pain. And then there's this Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity. We know from John 14, 16, and 17, where Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you orphaned. I'm going to come to you, but I'm going to come in the Holy Spirit. He's going to advocate. He's going to help you. He's going to counsel you. And it's his job to make what my dad and I have done for you real. That's why it says in Romans 8:15, the spirit you received does not make you a slave to fear. Does not make you a slave to insecurity so that you live in fear again. But this Holy Spirit brought about your adoption. But let's not forget a moment the people of God. I have maybe good news, hopefully good. When you got God as your dad and Jesus as your brother, the surprise was you had us too. Now that's good news most of the time. How many have ever been irritated by someone in the family of God? Well, you probably needed it. It's trying to reveal some things in you that you didn't know were there, and you get to see them now. Now, the fact of it is, you have this thing called family. And whether you like it or not, if you've been hurt by a person and hurt in family, God's going to use spiritual family to heal you and make it right. It's just the way it is. And that's why Jesus says in Mark 10:29-30, I'm telling you, said Jesus, if you lost your homes or your brothers or your sisters or your mom or your dad or your fields for me, you're going to go to heaven one day, but you're going to receive 100 times of what you've lost on this earth. I'm going to give you bunches of brothers, bunches of sisters, bunches of mamas, and bunches of children. I'm going to give you family. Some people want a prosperity movement, and I appreciate prosperity. I've always wanted a posterity movement where broken people could find family in God's house. When Jesus was on the cross, we remember all the words, it's finished, and this and that, and they're all profound and powerful. But he looked down at his mom and John, his best friend, and he says, Mama, that's your son. Son, that's your mama. And says, from that moment, this disciple took her home. Those are the words that convicted me to start adopting. Jesus said, stop talking and take someone home. Take them home. Paul felt the need. He'd lost everything for the gospel, probably parents, never mentioned him, lost everything he knew and had. And in 1 Thessalonians 2:17, when he could not make it to his spiritual family at Thessalonica, he said, but brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time. Paul felt the pang of missing church so badly. He felt, this is the apostle Paul who angels came to and went to heaven. See, when I couldn't be around my spiritual family, I felt orphaned, even though I thought about them all the time. So God not only gives us his person, he gives us his people. Now, if you wanted to be able to bond better, you've been wounded and hurt and torn, what might that process look like? Let me suggest to you there are at least 4 parts. You've got to kind of recognize where you are. You're going to have to repent of some things. You're going to have to receive the Holy Spirit's healing. You're going to have to re-engage with people. To be healed is one thing, whole is another. Some of you are detached today. You feel like sometimes you're outside of your body looking at yourself and looking at those around you. That was your big coping skill in a family that wasn't safe for you. You learned as a child to remove yourself from your family and step out of the family as if it wasn't really you when that pain was cascading on your soul. It's how you cope with an abusive spouse belittling you. You try to step out of your humanity and somehow find a safe space outside yourself. Others of you are unattached and you know it in you. Try real hard. You don't know what to do. We know from the whole area of adoption is brilliant clinicians and neuroscientists and neurobiologists have studied this, that there are at least 4 categories of attachment. There's secure attachment. That means you were raised by primary caregivers, your parents, your step-parents, whoever they might be, grandparents, who Their communication and love for you is consistent, predictable, and repairable. They loved you. They're predictable. Unpredictable parents create fragmentation in a child's soul. and they were repairable. That means if they got mad at you, they forgave you and loved you. And you learned that people could get mad and be friends again. You know, when a baby's real small, every time mom or dad leave, they scream and cry. They're so afraid they're not going to come back. But every time they come back, neural things are wiring that says, if someone loves you, they're coming back. Don't worry. But if mom and dad don't come back, something else is wired. People are not going to come back. They leave you. Simplistic explanation. I'm no scientist, but it's reality. Then there's what they call ambivalent attachment. Maybe you had a caregiver that just couldn't be relied on consistently. Home one day, gone a week, promises sometimes keep it, sometimes doesn't. And that creates what we call ambivalence, which is a state of having simultaneous conflicting reactions and beliefs or feelings towards some object or person. They can be positive and negative. Maybe you're married to someone like, do you really love me? Or are you sure you're coming back? And you wonder, man, where's that insecurity? Why don't they ever really believe me when I say? Because the last time they did, it wasn't always true. Maybe you just weren't nurtured. Maybe you were neglected. Maybe dad and mom never left you, but never really saw you either. You raised yourself. They call that avoidant attachment. And that means you avoid anything that has to do with attachment because it never worked in the fundamental relationship of your life. Of course, that can happen in a lesser way with significant others and marriage and friendship. Maybe the worst is what they call disorganized attachment, when the primary caregiver in a child's life is both the source of their safety and the source of their terror. They begin to fracture and disassociate on the inside. Because the dad who hugs you is the dad who sexually abused you. The dad who hugged you is the one that punched your face and split your lips and kicked you in his boots when you were on the ground. And it fractures something in that kid. And that soul. What do you do? Does Jesus really heal the brokenhearted? I thank God for great counselors, great clinicians, believe in Christian counselors, send people to him, I do. But regardless of whether you've had one or will ever have one, this Jesus can touch you. Now, he'll touch you through people, touch you, I can leave it all, but let me talk about what he can do. You're going to have to repent some, I'm sorry. Even if you were a victim, the bitterness and resentment you feel may be normal, but it'll kill you. It'll kill your hope to ever have another relationship that's lasting. You've got to begin the process of forgiving. Why? Because in the great parable of Matthew 18, 32 through 35, when the king forgave a man everything and that man had a man that owed him $100 locked in jail, Jesus said this. When the king found out, he put that man in jail. And Jesus said, if you don't forgive, your heavenly Father will allow you to be jailed too. You know what that means? Your bitterness, your resentment, your distrust will create the very jail that keeps people from bonding with you. You create your own bars. But you're going to have to receive something that through the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the people of God, your mind can be renewed, your ability to bond can be restored. Romans 12:2 says, you don't have to conform to all the painful patterns of the world. Your mind can be renewed. No one literally believed that was possible fully until 1989. And the more we get scans like the MRI, the more we realize it's true. Man, Ezekiel said, this God of mine will take away your heart of stone, which I believe are deeply set neural patterns built outside of God's love and lordship. And I'm going to give you a nice plastic, changeable heart of flesh. I'm going to make them new. Galatians 5, 22, 23 says, the fruit of the Spirit are things like love and joy and peace and being faithful. You say, Pastor Jim, I could never love again. I could never be faithful again. I'm saying no matter how you've been destroyed today, the Holy Spirit can reproduce the very things you need. They're fruits of the Spirit. And your pain provides the perfect fertilizer for the seeds of love he's going to plant in you. Isaiah 61:1 said, he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Now, before I pray for you, and I'm going to pray in a moment here, the last thing is you're going to need to re-engage. Re-engage for sure in the family of God, in small group life, pastors, caring. There's lots of amazing moms and dads here, and brothers and sisters here. What you did not get at home, is hard to find in marriage, because home's all about unconditional love. Marriage, it's all about reciprocal love, quite honest. You're serving, caring. If you're never really cared for right at mom and dad, you're going to hope your spouse will do for you what mom and dad didn't do, and typically they're not capable. But in a house of God, if you'll re-engage, if you'll trust again, you can be healed. Now I'm going to pray for you now. But let me talk to you. How many of you have memories of some pretty painful things with parents or spouse or something? Just raise your hand. Here's the problem. Dr. John Rady at Harvard said, at best, you can't really get rid of memories. And the neural patterns around them, once you got them, but you can prune them. In fact, if you'll build a different neural pattern next to a painful one, the old one withers and the new one grows. Well, how do you do that? Let me share one way. There's a lot of great counseling and things. Let me just share one thing I've learned. I've been ministering to hurting people for 4 decades now. I've looked into things and seen things, and I found a tendency in people, they always, when I'm praying for them to be healed, they always want to see Jesus and imagine him with them and healing them. It took me years to realize what was happening is the Holy Spirit was a lot smarter than me. And as he inserted that image of Jesus into that memory, and they saw Jesus healing them, understanding them, loving them, guess what? New neural patterns were forming around that inserted memory, and those new neural patterns were connecting with new neural transmitters, and they were having cascades of new, showered with new levels of dopamine and oxytocin and serotonin, and they were being touched. I just tell them, whenever you have this traumatic memory, forgive and imagine Jesus healing you. And every time they did that, the new neural pattern strengthened and the old neural pattern weakened. They use similar techniques to heal post-traumatic stress disease now. They just don't use Jesus. I highly recommend that. Muslims think he's a great prophet. Catholics and Protestants know he is the Son of God, the greatest prophet that ever lived. You're here today and you say, Pastor Jim, I need God to touch my ability to really bond. I've got hurt, I got trauma, I got pain. Stand to your feet, I'm going to pray for you right now. Just stand up. Pastor James, join me, please. We're going to do a little something here to initiate a process in you. I want you to close your eyes, if you will, and say, Jesus, I need you to heal me. Now I'm going to pray. Holy Spirit, you know the trauma in this room, the pain in this room, the rejection from business to family to parents to marriage to significant others to multiple partners and the residue that's left in our soul and how it feels. Close your eyes. If you can see that trauma and that pain, put your hand up and wave it at me. Put it up. Can you see it? Oh, there it is. Okay, put your hands down. I want you to say, Jesus, I'm asking you to heal me now. Say, Jesus, I state my willingness to forgive. And just forgive that person afresh. Many of you can already imagine Jesus. Compassion, tears. He's coming up behind some of you right now. Now just allow him to put his hands on your heart and say, Jesus, heal me. Mend my broken heart. My mind is filled with images of pain all around me. But there's nothing this Jesus can't heal. I'm going to pray now and release the healing power of Christ into your heart. Holy Spirit, I'm coming into agreement with Pastor James. I'm asking you to loose healing where there's been abuse, betrayal, trauma, injury. Where home wasn't safe, where they'd shake in bed and be afraid to turn the light off. Come. You heal the brokenhearted. Restore our ability to trust, to bond. Help us find family. Loose your presence. Loose your healing. Loose your grace. Loose your anointing. Our hearts have been orphaned too long. Help us, Jesus. Pastor James.
Hi, my name is Pastor James Lowe, and I want to thank you for watching today. A scripture that comes to mind is Romans 10 and 9. It simply says this: if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And after listening today, I know many of you want to make that confession. I would love the opportunity to lead you in prayer. And if you would just repeat after me, I believe the Lord is going to meet you today. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life for the rest of my life. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and I need you as Savior. I believe that you died on a cross for me, but on the third day, you were raised from the dead. And with this confession from my heart, I'm no longer the same, but Jesus is now Lord of my life. Now, many of you just prayed that prayer, and I believe you just received salvation. Now, what is your next step? Get in a Bible-believing church. Now, many of you may say, this is my church, and I want you to go to BethelWorld.org and all of the information that you need to get planted and get involved and get engaged here is going to be there for you. I want to leave you with this message, that God loves you so very much, and I do too. God bless.
Bethel World Outreach Church, reaching a city to touch the world.